We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, James Anderson, and we are brought to you by Prize Picks. Use the promo code ROTOPOD for a 100% deposit match over at Prize Picks. My guest today is Andrew Geller, the Guild's very well-known high-stakes player and fun guy to chat with this time of year. Didn't get to see Andrew in Vegas this year, but maybe we'll see each other next year. And we're going to talk about some stuff that's gone wrong this year, mostly, I think. A lot of just decisions that we kind of wish we could do over. Some guys that we're dealing with who are injured, some guys that we, you know, maybe dropped or wish we'd picked up or wish we had more shares of. So not going to be like a victory lap type of pod, but kind of the opposite of that. But Andrew, thanks for joining me. I really wanted to start here with just kind of which injured guys are you currently stashing right now in your high stakes NFBC leagues?
Yeah, first off, James, always appreciate you having me on. It's always good talking to you. Francisco Alvarez, I'm definitely stashing him where I have him. I got a decent amount. We were just talking before the pod. It's like the catcher position was so deep, we all thought early on and in draft season, and you know, a few injuries later, you know, and some guys underperforming, it's like it's not too deep anymore. So you know, I saw the timeline, 6 to 8 weeks. Hoping to get half a season out of him. And, you know, that's a guy, you know, I think that can beat that. Whatever his timeline is, I think he'll be at the top of that, or at least, you know, if he can get back and play, this kid's a gamer. He's going to be in there. So, and plus, I don't have a lot of fab in my league. So that's not a guy that I'm going to be able to get back, you know, when he does, you know, come back from the injury. So kind of, you know, you're a little hamstrung if you're low on fab, and I don't mind stashing guys either. So
where you're stashing Francisco Alvarez, and I'm doing so as well. I've got a lot of Alvarez. I don't know who's got more out of you and me, but so for like the leagues where you're stashing Alvarez, what did you do this past weekend? Are you rostering three catchers right now?
Yep, I'm rostering. I know that's like a cardinal sin in fantasy, but you know, I think the whole stashing angle is kind of overplayed, to be honest. I mean, yeah, you know, if your team is that banged up and you're looking at, you know, 5-6 hurt guys on your bench, okay, that's one thing. But, you know, if your team's relatively healthy, you know, you maybe got one injured guy on there, you know, maybe even two, like, you know, I'm fine stashing guys, you know, until I have to let them go, you know. So, yeah, you know, I picked up Danny Jansen in a couple spots, Kirk, who maybe we'll touch on later, who's been a disaster. But, you know, just guys that could kind of plug and play. And, you know, until my team isn't healthy enough to roster him, I'm going to keep him on bench. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you got to keep rostering him. The way that I kind of approach the stashes is, you know, there's some guys that are just obvious cuts. Like I've cut Noelvi Marte, On Mancada, and Garrett Mitchell are just the three guys I could find that I have cut due to absences in fab leagues. But yeah, I think with Alvarez, just the way that I kind of play the game, like I'm going to keep stashing him until I can't stash him anymore, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, it's a catcher position, you know, it's like, you know, he can be a difference maker. I think I know he got off to a rough start. I mean, I saw people saying in 15s to drop. I mean, there was no way I was ever dropping him in the 15, the main event. I'll make do until he comes back, but that it's so thin there. I mean, I had to pick up, Rortwurt on Tampa for this week. I'm just going to rotate in and out weekly, you know, whoever the, you know, catcher that won't kill you for a week, kind of just plug and play until Alvarez is back. But until I hear there's another setback or, you know, they extend him out until like August or something, you know, there's more news that comes down, I'm just going to hold him until then.
That's interesting. Cause I went and looked it up. I've got Alvarez in both of my solo main event leagues and one of my two solo online championship leagues. And I was able to add Miguel Amaya, Connor Wong, and Patrick Bailey. Yeah, and I thought those were solid. And yeah. I thought those were in each specific league. I thought there was kind of a clear drop off. Like I thought those guys were above the drop off. And I actually bid like, I think 20 to 30 bucks to get those three guys. My hope is to just sort of ride those three in those leagues unless they just are tanking things. And then I would switch to streaming. But you didn't see anyone out there that you thought was worth kind of going with for a few weeks, or just that's not how you play that section of the catcher market?
Yeah, I mean, I went into the season, you know, put an emphasis on drafting two of those like top 15 catchers, like in every league. And I thought I did a good job doing that. You know, I have a lot of Yainer Diaz. He's my most owned catcher, which is working out awesome. He's been great. But I wanted to really make a point to get two solid catchers, because I think people that were sleeping on these late round Rene Pinto types, you know, you're behind the eight ball. And you know, especially this year with it being so deep early on, I just didn't see the reason why you would be fading guys going around like 150, 160, you know, like Salvador Perez. I have a lot of, he was going so late in drafts. I mean, I couldn't believe it. So I think him and Diaz are my two highest owned catchers. But yeah, no, I just think, especially in these 12 team and 15, obviously the 15 teamers, you know, you want to have two strong catchers if you can. Obviously it's easier said than done, but yeah, I mean, in 15 teamers, I just can't drop, you know, if you get a half a season in Alvarez and he comes back and he's, you know, he's the guy we saw last year, you know, the average might still hurt you, but you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, he could hit 15 homers in half a season. So yeah, that's what I'm playing for right now. Just stash and cash. That's how I'm rolling.
Yeah. I think that was the way to go too. I think going with two strong catchers, turns out you got to pick the right guys and get a little lucky with injury luck. Like I could tell already back in February that I wasn't going to have as good an injury luck this year as I did last year. And that's just kept going from there. But yeah, I think the idea of Alvarez is a guy that could lead the position in home runs. And you know, I guess with that specific injury, there might be a concern about whether he can just be that guy as soon as he comes back.
Yeah.
Anything to do with like the hand or the wrist, you know, you're always a little worried about, or, you know, shoulder.
Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a concern. Absolutely. Again, it's his non-throwing hand. I don't know if that matters too much, but I mean, it could definitely affect him. I mean, it's better than a wrist, right? And I don't know. I feel like in the past, we always get scared of these hand injuries and then guys come back and they're just mashing. Remember Matt Olson a couple of years ago, he had the hammock bone injury and nobody was like touching him. And then he comes back and he's just mashing right away. So, I mean, I don't know. This kid, to me, he's the kind of guy that I think, you know, if he's healthy and ready to go, you know, it shouldn't affect him too much. And I saw that some of the Twitter doctors saying too, it's, you know, you got to take that with a grain of salt, but they say, you know, long-term impact, even this, you know, when he comes back, you know, they don't see much decrease in performance. Maybe a little bit right away, but it's nothing that, you know, once he's good to go, he should be, fine. So
yeah, and I'm also stashing Kyber Ruiz. That's kind of a less of a stash because he's just probably had COVID or something like that. And then Casas was a big one. Like I had Perez and Casas on at least two teams together. And you know, I guess like from a week ago when they both got injured, I was kind of banking on around 55 homers from those two guys the rest of the way, you know?
Yeah. That's a rough one.
That's tough. Do you have Casas anywhere?
So, it's funny. I have him. I have one share, and it's on my main, my CLQ main, which is my best main right now, which is funny because nice. I started that main off. I had Strider, my first pick, and then my second pitcher was Shane Bieber.
Wow.
And then I just lost Casas also. So somehow that team is still, you know, doing pretty well. But it's funny if those, you know, if I didn't suffer those injuries. And it's my best main, which goes to show you that, you know, one injury can't kill you. Two injuries really can't kill you. But I did hit on some pitchers in the back end. I got Hicks there, Seve, Cutter Crawford. So you got to, you know, you got to make those picks later on. And otherwise, you're not going to survive.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think it's something you got to kind of fight as well. If you've got one of those teams where you feel like you're kind of cursed by the injuries, sometimes that can lead you to make sort of unforced errors with, you know, a streamer or just getting carried away in fab because you think you just have to make it all back up with the perfect fab purchase the very next week, you know. So it's like a mental game, you know. You got to really just kind of keep grinding and not get too high or too low, which is so hard. It's so hard this time.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're all like slaves to the standings, right? We're all checking out our teams doing well and teams not doing well also. So it's early. It is. It's early. But I always say, James, too, it's early until it isn't. So I like getting off to strong starts. You know, in previous years, my big teams were – pretty much strong from the get-go. So obviously you want to start off strong if you can, not to say that you can't make moves, you know, and shoot up the boards, but there is a point in the season where, you know, there's no return. We're not there yet for sure, but another month, you know, 6 weeks, you're going to see, you know, the standings start to solidify a little more and the ratios are going to be solidified a little more. So you'll know probably early June, mid June, if you had a contender, and those are teams you want to put, you know, a lot of focus on.
So what did the Twitter doctors say about a fractured rib? Is that something where you hold him or are you dropping him?
I mean, I have him in the main. I do have Turner as a backup there. I picked up Schoenel on the Anaheim, Los Angeles Angels, whatever. But I'm holding him until I hear more. I mean, the main, you know, I mean, it's so hard to drop guys like this in the main, right? You just got to hope that they beat their recovery timetable and, you know, just hold and keep an eye on the news and, you know, hopefully there's no setbacks. But, yeah, in the mains, I'm holding, you know, in the 12s, you know, depending on how long he's out for. You know, if it's 2 months, I could see him being on some waiver wires there.
So I have picked up like my two biggest fab pickups of the season were both injured pitchers that another team dropped. My biggest fab bid in a main event league is actually like $60 on Shane Baz. And then my biggest bid in a OC was $150 on Kyle Bradish.
Okay. You're confident in him coming back and being – I know he was struggling a little bit in his rehab starts, right? But
confidence, definitely not the right word.
Optimistic? I don't know, yeah.
I thought it was a calculated gamble. I think he's got top 15, top 20 SP upside, and maybe it won't work out, but you know, the types of guys that you're adding, sometimes you get a gift in those OCs and someone drops someone that they just shouldn't have dropped.
Yep.
and then you can feel really confident, like you know what this guy's going to do. But for the most part, I mean, all these big bids are, there's some level of risk, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because you do see, you know, you could definitely tell an OC from a main just by, like you were saying, the guys who are dropped. Like, you know, you see Luis Robert available in a ton of OCs. I mean, he might have been out there in a couple mains, if that, but it's just like they're, you know, these in the 12 teamer, it's just a different game. So you could, you can kind of just turn and burn a lot easier there, where in the mains, it's, you got to be leery of dropping some of these guys. You know, if they miss 6 weeks, you know, you're still going to get 3.5-4 months out of them, right? So yeah, it's a and, fine line you're walking.
And I think, I mean, it kind of depends sort of how you play too. Like if you are just dropping 3 or 4 guys every single week just to play the matchups, then it becomes harder to be stashing these guys. But you know, for me, I might be doing that in, you know, maybe one offensive spot I'm kind of churning, and then maybe 1 or 2 pitcher spots I'm kind of churning. But
yeah, and I heard you say you have your highest bid was $60 in the main. That's not bad.
Yeah,
is
that good? Is that crazy?
That is kind of crazy. I mean, I think I spent $400 on or three something on the first wire in all the main.
Okay. That was one of the questions. So tell me about your biggest bid.
So it's, hold on.
Yeah, you can go. Come on. The guild's dog is trying to get onto the pod. Don't blame him. But yeah, I guess $60 on Shane Boz. I think that's the most.
I had to bribe the dog.
Yeah.
Jason Foley. So,
yeah.
I think I have 14 fab leagues, and I have him, I think, on 11 of the 14. So I just went all in on almost every team. I just like what I saw, you know, early on, obviously. And we know Alex Lang, you know, I owned him last year, and I'm like, it won't take much for Foley to secure that job. And sure enough, he's been insane. You know, he's been perfect pretty much since then. So, and I got a weird feeling about the closer market early on. So I wasn't playing around. I just wanted to get that closer who I thought, you know, has the skills to keep the job all year and get you 35 saves. To me, that's well worth, you know, 30-40% of my budget. So that's a guy I went after, you know, huge across all leagues.
Now, did you go in with sort of one high-end closer and then cheap at the second closer spot in most leagues?
Yeah, that's pretty much my style. I usually try to grab one. I have a lot of Edwin Diaz, so I mean, that's looking good so far. I always try to grab one of those, you know, one of the early top 7 or 8 guys. I had a lot of Duran too, so that's also why I have a lot of Foley right now.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know, you don't want to fall too far, you know, behind in saves. So, you know, once I started suffering, I had Devin Williams on a couple teams. So once I started suffering these injuries, I'm like, screw it. I saw, you know, I saw this Foley come in and take that job, and I'm like, I'm going to get him. And some of the runner-up bids were like half of what I bid. It was funny to see. So with all the efficient bid Twitter screenshots, you know, I overspent by like 200 probably across the board.
Yeah. I saw the closers. Like I knew that those guys deserve to go for a lot of money. Foley, I liked him too. But I, on most teams, either had two good closers already, or I'm stashing Paul Sewald on a handful of teams, but I think he's going to be back in short order. So I feel like if you use two, you know, picks in the first 12 rounds on closers, then having your most expensive fab bid also be on a closer.
Yeah.
It's not optimal, but if I'd gone your way of one good closer and then some specs, I would have absolutely been in on the Foley bid.
Yeah. And a few of my specs were looking pretty ugly early on too. Had Will Smith in a couple spots, you know, I dropped him as fast as I could. I mean, he's just awful. Yeah. Grabbed Hunter Harvey, you know, thinking he'd be the guy, and he's been shaky of late, and it's Finnegan who's been like perfect. So
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just got a little nervous, you know, early on. And like I said, I mean, I think Foley, I mean, this guy could, you know, score you 35, 40 saves if they keep, you know, rolling him out there. So I like Detroit a lot. I like their offense and, you know, they're a pesky team. So I'm happy. I'm very happy I spent that early money on him. Now, you know, the caveat to that is I'm out on pretty much all any of these big names, you know, your prospects that come up, you know, I'll be watching from the sidelines for the most part. So that's kind of the risk you take. But, you know, like I said, if Foley, you know, turns into, you know, a top 10 closer, to me, that's money that's well spent.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he stays healthy, I don't think you'll regret that. So is it, are all your fab budgets just, they've got a big Jason Foley size dent in them, or was there another guy? Was there another guy that you went like?
There's a lot of Foley. Yeah. I mean, I did get Cowser in a couple spots where I went pretty damn big.
Oh, right. I remember. I saw you tweeting about that. What was the freight there on Cowser for you?
So I think I spent like three and change on him. Sure. And that was on a Foley team too. So that fab bankroll is looking pretty bleak. I think I have like maybe two something on that team, which is even for me, that's pretty low right now. But I would say across all teams, I'm around 300-400, which is to me is fine, you know? But like I said, you know, I'm going to miss out on these huge names and, you know, the Hunter Goodmans who I just saw got recalled. So I don't know. You know, if he's going to be a huge bid, I don't know what your thoughts are there, but to me also, like I say it on all these pods, to me, the draft table is where I do my business. And, you know, if I draft solid teams, you know what I mean? I feel like I can maneuver my way around the fab wire with, you know, the $6 bids here, $7 bids there. So, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, you're comfortable operating like this, where you know that you're kind of low on fab right now in your leagues, but like you're not, that doesn't make you uncomfortable.
Not at all.
And I'm with you in terms of like doing your business at the draft table. If you're going to have a good year, you're obviously going to make some really good pickups during the season. But you don't know which those are going to be necessarily. Like right. Sometimes the pickup that yields the most for you is like an $8 ad, you know, when you're like a week early on a guy.
Look at, Willier Abreu this week. I got like five or six shares of him and I'm thinking, okay, I felt like he was going to be like the top bat that people were going for everywhere. And I got him for, I don't know, 10, 15 bucks in like a bunch of spots. I'm like, this is the OC. You know what I mean? It's a different animal. So you can maneuver a lot better with a low bankroll in the OC versus the main. So it's just a different game.
That's frustrating because I had like $30 bids on Abreu in pretty much every league and I didn't get him anywhere.
Yeah. It varies. I had one where I bid like I think $10 and there was like no runner up. Right. So then you go to the next league and you lose on the $60 bid. It's just that's the OC. It's like there's no rhyme or reason to it. You just gotta hope you're in one of these leagues where people aren't paying attention, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. What would you have bid on Abreu in a main this past week?
If I had the funds, I would have went at least 70, 80 bucks easy. Okay. And for the main, that's a pretty big bid on a bat, right? So I didn't get him in any main. But I did see some 40s for him, even 30s in some spots. So, you could – even the mains, they vary from league to league. So it's interesting. What are your thoughts on Abreu? I know he's got a lot of swing and miss, but I mean, fantasy wise, a lot of upside.
I love it. Like he's not a perfect player by any means, but you got a guy that was hitting cleanup basically for the Red Sox leading up to Fab. And he had already stolen four bases, even though he was just sucking.
Yeah.
So I loved it. And I don't mind, especially in the main event. I mean, I think he's playing kind of every day now, but especially in the main event, I don't mind having a strong side platoon guy.
Because
I'll probably have two or three of those guys and then I'll just, whichever guy has the terrible matchups, I'll just bench.
And I think he had like a 20, 30 year, right? In the minors last year. I was looking, or was it a year before?
He's had some impressive like power speed seasons. I've never thought of him as like a burner by any stretch.
2022. Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, 1931 in 129 games. I mean, I like that profile. Yeah, I mean, those strike out a lot, and that's the thing. You know, batting average is going to be a risk there, but I mean, you're not buying him for the batting average, right? So, like you said, hitting the middle of that lineup, if he performs well, he's going to stay there all year, I think. So, yeah, I was very high on him on last week's wire.
So, Abreu's got a 65th percentile sprint speed, but he, dating back to 2022, he's only been caught stealing five times. It seems like he's just one of those guys that's really good at stealing bases, even though he doesn't necessarily have that type of speed. So, I love the Abreu ad. I really regret not going more in the spots.
I just assumed
I'd get him in like half the leagues and not in half the leagues, but I just didn't get him anywhere.
I mean, he could be, you know, one of the better pickups all year, at least offensively. I mean, we'll see how this goes, but if he hits enough, I mean, you got to like, you know, his spot and where he's hitting and the offense there. So,
yeah.
I'm pretty excited.
Any like fab regrets or any other like stash stuff you want to hit on?
I'm not stashing too many guys. I mean, the pitchers I did on one main, I had Braxton Garrett and Cabrera, and then I have Gavin Williams there also, which I don't know if you saw the news. He had a setback or more discomfort in his elbow, so he's likely to drop this weekend. But, I mean, overall, I'm not stashing too many guys. I did have Romano on a couple teams too, so it was nice to see him come back, and he's been pretty good since he's back. So, I don't think anything too crazy at this point, at least.
All right. Well, let's head to a message from our sponsors. First, though, anyone who's watching on YouTube, please subscribe. It really helps us out, and give it a like. Really pumped about our growing relationship with So Rare. That's really exciting. And the Discord, roadwire.com/chat. If you ever want to hang out on there, it's a good place to get a hold of me.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live, only on Netflix.
Finally, baseball is back. This MLB season, knock it out of the park with Vivid Seats and score great tickets to the biggest games of the year. Every fastball, every home run, and every eye-popping play of your favorite team, live and in person. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, you earn rewards with every single purchase. Just buy 10 tickets, then cash in your credit toward your free 11th ticket. Talk about an easy win. And here's a pro reward tip. When buying tickets for your whole group, split the bill and make progress towards your free 11th ticket even faster. From behind the dugout to upper deck, Vivid Seats has great tickets for all the 2024 games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. If you're looking for Prize Picks, I like the under on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scoring 29.5 points tonight against the Pelicans. I just think that that's going to be a tall task with Herb Jones on him. And I think the Thunder can win without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander getting the 30. I also like the under on Joel Embiid scoring 32.5 points tomorrow against the Knicks. Just doesn't seem like he's going to have that in the tank. I worry about him getting injured mid-game in all these games. So going under on 32.5 points for Joel Embiid seems like a good way to go. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the #1 daily fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, back with the guilds here. And the title of this episode, at least on YouTube, is Take the L or Double Down. So I have some guys that I, at this point in time, like either fading them or drafting them is looking bad. But I want to kind of evaluate each guy and see whether – I'll just take the L or whether I'm going to just ride it out. So guilds, I've got Elly De La Cruz on a couple like keeper dynasty rosters, but I have Elly De La Cruz on zero NFBC rosters this year. That's not very fun. Like, you know, it'd be fun to have Elly De La Cruz on some teams this year.
Oh yeah. I'd say so. It's wild. It's, I mean, you know, we all knew there was pretty much two outcomes with them, right? It's, you know, hitting that crazy top five ceiling and, or, you know, striking out a ton, not hitting. And, you know, I don't think he was ever going to be sent down, but, you know, 220, you know, 210, 220 was in his range of outcomes also. So, I mean, it looks like he's hitting the higher end of that outcome. So yeah. And I know we spoke before the pod a little bit where I was, you know, I was debating him versus Frankie Lindor. By the way, Lindor, two homers today, 4 for 5. So, you know, maybe my take is not going to be that crazy. But, yeah, I had preferred Frankie over Ellie in that second round of fantasy draft. So that's not looking too great right now. But I still think end of the year you're going to see Lindor. You know, for some reason this guy cannot hit early on. I think – I was looking back. I think he had – 4 years with the Mets, his fourth year, he had like 1 month from April and May that was like above 250. Like he just a slow starter. So I think he's going to end the year, you know, 250, 260, 25 homers, you know, 80, 90 RBIs. I don't think he's going to hit that 30 steal mark again, but he's not going to be, you know, just a bust all year. He's going to give you that value. It's just for whatever reason, he can't start out of the gate hot, but, yeah, no, Elly De La Cruz, I have him on the one main, but that's also the, you know, a main where I took Corbin Carroll. I actually posted that on Twitter today, but yeah, no, I mean, if you have Elly right now, you're self-high-fiving for sure, and it's just, he's amazing, amazing to watch.
So I think we both, so I went on Bubba's pod sometime during the preseason, I think, and he was, like, asking me about Elly, And my theory was he's going to hit like between 230 and 245. I didn't see him hitting like 200, 220 or anything like that. But I thought he would be up all year. I thought he'd be very productive with the counting stats. I just didn't want to take that type of batting average hit in that round of the draft. And I wasn't on Lindor either for the same reason, because I thought Lindor was going to hit like 250 and I just wanted a higher batting average there. But I don't even want to go back and look. I think I might have taken Rafael Devers over Ellie in a draft. I'm going to take the L on Ellie. Like, you know, he's got a 381 BABIP. He's probably close to like a true talent, like 345 BABIP type of guy. I mean, he just hits the ball so hard. He's so fast. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going to hit 295, but I also don't think at this point that the whole he's going to tank my batting average idea really holds any water anymore. So I'll take the L on Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah, same here. And I thought similar to you, where, you know, I thought he'd be fine enough, you know, he'd be good enough to stay up all year, but, you know, I thought he'd be more 230, 240 hitter, but he would still give you those homers and steals. So even in the second round, you know, that's still going to provide, I don't know, value there, but it's not going to hurt you, right? If he goes, you know, 30 homers and 50 steals, I mean, that's probably still a good pick in the second round, you know, at 240. So, yeah, no, he's, it looks like he's going to, I mean, what does he got? He's got 7 homers and 12 steals on April 24th. So, I mean, what's the upside here? We're looking at 40, 70, you know, I don't even know. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, yeah. He's going to just pray he stays healthy. That's all he could do right now.
And speaking of staying healthy, another candidate for me is I was vocal about fading Mike Trout. Now he's, you know, he's only hitting 240 right now, but he hasn't gotten injured. And the biggest thing to me is, the strikeouts are way down, and he's already stolen as many bases in 24 games as he stole from 2021 through 2023. So, it's like maybe this guy just needs to be on terrible teams for him to kind of reach the peak of his powers. But maybe is he running because the team's so bad and like he doesn't see any real downside?
I mean, they're all running on the Angels, right? Rengifo stole another. I mean, he's got 7-8 steals right now already. Trout's got 5. I mean, yeah, they're running. So, I mean, if Trout, I mean, if he gives you 15-20 steal, I mean, 15 even, and stays healthy, I mean, you're, you know, he's going to be a top 5 value in the entire draft, right? I mean, he was going mid-late 80s in these mains, you know? Sometimes later, I think he fell to 100, I want to say, in one. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, no, I have him on a couple of big teams too. So I'm happy. Just he's healthy and running is just a bone. I mean, it's crazy. 5 steals. So.
Yeah. Did you think? Because I didn't think he was going to run just because of how injured he's been. Like I just thought.
Yeah. No, I didn't think so. I mean, anyone that thought he would run, he has the. Let me see. When was the last time he had 5 stolen bases in the season? Even
2019.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, 2019, 5 seasons ago, he had 11 steals. He's totaled 5 stolen bases over the last 3 years combined. So anyone that tells you that they saw him running, I don't know. I think they're just, you know, wish casting there. I mean, this is – I mean, you know, we'll see how we do. I mean, his batting average, you know, is 237 right now. He's probably in its – yeah,
it'll come up. The big question here, you know, it's great that he's cut the strikeouts. Like that's great. Best strikeout rate since 2020 for him. He'd been at like 28% basically for 3 straight years, and now he's at 22%. But I think when it's sort of double down or take the L, it's hard for me to take the L on a guy who the main reason I was fading was because of durability in mid-April or late April. So I'm going to double down on that one. But I, you know, I think it's definitely like, if you just told me he's going to attempt five steals in April, I don't know if he ends up on any of my teams, but I would not have been fading him or telling people to fade him. Right. So it's a complicated one, but you know, the durability, again, it's, he hasn't played in, he played in 119 games in 2022.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was a concern, you know, for everybody, is just the health. So, I mean, if you told me he stole five bases all season and played 140 games, I would have, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you just told me he played 140 games, I'm drafting him all right. day.
Zero steals. I would have been fine where he was going. So the fact that he's healthy and he's running, I mean, he's going to be a huge bargain. Like I said, yeah, just knock on wood that he can stay healthy. But, yeah, like you were saying, it's, you never know. Tomorrow he could be hurt, or, you know, a month from now he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. You know what I mean? It's, we haven't seen him healthy for a full season or even close to that in quite some time. So
the next guy on my list is Wyatt Langford. I took him on one team with Todd Whitestone in the seventh round. Mike Trout was long gone. So Sammy Reed, don't worry about shaming me for taking Wyatt Langford over Mike Trout. I never did that in any leagues, even though I have a lot of Wyatt Langford and zero Mike Trout. And I only drafted him once at that sort of, I'll kind of classify like peak price on Langford as sort of like top 100 pick. I only paid that price once out of the, how many shares do I have? I only did that on one of the six teams, and four of the six teams, like, I was getting them after pick 150. So, you know, that was kind of the range where I was most comfortable with him. Now, I just think he's pressing. You know, he's not like, he's still showing a good eye at the plate. He's faster than I even thought he was. And I think he's trying to kind of like produce for his team and every at bat a little too hard right now. He's not hitting the ball as hard as he did in the minors, or even in spring training. I think he's going to get on a heater at some point, as long as he keeps getting to play. It's probably not a guarantee that he keeps getting to play if he doesn't heat up soon. So this one's close for me. Like, you know, it's a prospect. Like, of course, you know, you have to know that this is in the range of outcomes, right? Like, even the best prospects can just completely suck right away. Yeah. Like, I was at a conference. I was at First Pitch Florida. And I just – people were asking about Wyatt Langford. I was like, I'm drafting him, but I don't want to try to talk any of you into drafting him at the price. Like, you have to be really comfortable with it. You know, if you're going to just be really pissed at this point in April, if he's hitting what he's hitting, then it's not for you. I definitely knew the potential downfalls there. So it's kind of like, I'm not surprised. It's just kind of annoying. It's just like, can you just do something, please? So I'm not going to take the L. I'm going to double down on Langford, just given the price I was paying. If I had taken him, you know, if I'd been loading up on him in the main event or something like that, then I would take the L, based on the players that I would have passed on him for. But I think just given the price I paid and I think what's in store for him over the next 5 months, I'm going to double down on Langford. But it's close. Like, I definitely recognize that it's not looking good so far.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned right in the beginning with between him and Trout. So the main, that CLQ main also I was talking about, I took Frankie Lindor in a second, and Adolis in round five, which is a monster there. But I felt like I needed more speed. But in round six, it was between Trout and Langford, and I went Trout. And right away I'm like, oh, shit. You know, I probably could have used Langford's speed, right? So fast forward a month, you know, we're sitting here with Trout having five steals and looking, you know, perfectly great out there. and Langford doesn't have a homer or a steal. So it's just funny how that worked out. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm doubling down. I mean, he's doing enough. He's hitting enough. He's walking, you know, I mean, he's, I do think you're right. I think he's pressing a lot. I think it's common, you know, it's, you know, it does take time for some of these guys, and we're seeing that with him, but it's just funny because, you know, power and speed were like the two, you know, attributes that, you know, were appealing about him, and he has no homers or steals. So, it's just funny how that works out, but yeah, no, I think as long as he's still hitting enough, he's going to stay in this lineup, and that power and speed is going to come. I do. I think he's, you know, it's just a matter of time. So yeah, I'm doubling down.
I think the power has to come for it to,
yeah,
like it's going to be a bad pick if he doesn't finish the year with 20 plus homers. And the stolen bases, I'm a little bit more worried about just because it's an attempts issue, right? Like,
he's not running. Yeah, he ran the other night, right? He got caught stealing, but he's attempted one stolen base, right?
And that's kind of a, you know, I think that's partly the team he's on. And I, you know, there's guys who are having terrible seasons that have like three steals already. So
right,
it's bizarre. It's definitely a mindset out there, and that's. I definitely don't think Wyatt Langford's stealing 15 bases this year. Like, I think get to double digits, I'd take that for sure. Yeah. I think it's more about just start banging doubles, start banging homers, get on a, you know, hit like 350 for a month, that type of thing is kind of what I'm hoping for with him.
He's got three extra base hits on the season. Three.
Yeah. That's the pressing. Like, I don't think he's letting the game come to him. I think he's just kind of just trying to get it all back. I like that. I like that we're both doubling down there on Langford. We'll see.
Yeah.
How well this holds up.
I think the fact that he's hitting, right? I mean, if he was hitting .160 right now, I'd be a lot more concerned. But I mean, he's doing enough to sustain that lineup, so it gives me some optimism moving forward.
Okay, so I didn't get this guy in a ton of leagues relative to kind of how much I wanted him. But I've got Hunter Brown in three leagues. I loved that sort of pocket of Bryce Miller, Gavin Williams, and Hunter Brown. fortunately, I did get some Bryce Miller, but 2/3 of that, not looking so good. I'll take the L on Hunter Brown easily right now. You know, there's no sugarcoating the damage that he's done to everyone's ratios, and you can't get that back.
You had him in that line. I mean, I actually benched him for that start. I just had strong matchups elsewhere. You know, it's not like, you know, I saw the future or anything, but
I benched him in a 12. I had him in a 12. I benched him. I started him in my
15. Okay, 12. Yeah, that's what I was talking. 15. Yeah, there was no way you were benching him there. So yeah, rough.
I know. Rob D did. I know he was talking about.
He benched him.
I think in most of his leagues he benched him because he saw underlying stuff he didn't like. I didn't have the luxury of really looking under the hood. You know, it was just kind of like I have to start him. Like, my next best option is
right
easily worse than this. So
that's right. Like, in the main, you're looking at, you know, what, six starters across 15, you know, 90 starters more or less are being, you know, in starting lineup. So to have the luxury of benching him prior to that start, you know, in a main event, that seems, if you did that, you know, that's all the power to you, but I would have thrown him out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've said this before, but it's almost more rewarding to me when I make the right bench call on a pitcher than like any sort of like awesome streamer that works out. Like, it's just so satisfying to have like a highly touted pitcher on your bench for a blow up outing.
Yeah. It's funny after that start, because I think I have 200 around or one, either one or two. Anyway, I saw Twitter blowing up. I'm like, oh my God. It was a day game, I think, right? Was it a day game? I forget. But I started scrolling through my teams. I went to the, you know, search player feature because I didn't even know what the hell team I had him on. And I see Hunter Brown. I scroll over, my, you know, my heart's pounding. I'm like, oh my God. It was like, it's, you know, it was, my heart was pounding, but it was like in slow motion as I'm scrolling across to see bench or, you know, P. Yeah. And I saw bench and I'm like, oh, man. Just a huge relief. Yeah. I mean, that start's going to leave a hole for sure.
How glued to like the results and Twitter and stuff like that are you when things aren't going well? Like, I mean, it's easy to be on top of your standings and stuff when things are going well, but like I kind of like run from it. Like, I don't want to see any of it. I'm just kind of like, I'm turning my computer off for the rest of the day, not going on Twitter. Just gonna chill out and not think about baseball anymore. But do you just kind of like sit there and take it when it's not going well?
I'm probably somewhere in between. Like, you know, I play enough teams now where if I, you know, had a Hunter Brown on one team, okay, that team is screwed this week. But, you know, I might have another pitcher doing well on another team. And I'm like, all right, well, that team's rising now. So I think if you do, you know, just a couple teams and, you know, you have these guys on those teams and it's, you know, it's really a Debbie Downer, right? But I think, you know, there's enough volume where it kind of, you know, I shrug it off for the most part. Now, if it's a guy that I have across a lot of teams that throws one of those starts, those clunkers, you'll see the belly flop GIF for sure. So, that's how you know I own a lot of that player. Anytime that GIF comes out, that's nice. He's well owned by the guild.
we were talking about catchers earlier. One of the catchers I have the most shares of is Bo Naylor.
Yeah, you were high on him. I remember listening to you in the preseason. You were very high on him going in.
So, yeah, I'm taking the L on that. And I don't necessarily think he's going to suck the rest of the way. I think, like, I don't really plan on dropping him or anything like that. Unless the Guardians,
I don't own much. What's been his issues? I don't own. I have one share. I think I haven't really paid too close attention to. I mean, he's not hitting at all. But I mean, outside of that, is he striking out too much?
Yeah. I mean, the contact rate is down like 11% from last year.
He is striking out a ton. 24 strikeouts and 66 plate appearances. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But I still think I think he kind of figures it out to some degree. I don't think he's going to finish. I think he's going to strike out less than 30% of the time the rest of the way, I guess is what I'll say. But I got to take the L on that because – you know, there was, I don't think I ever took Naylor over like Logan O'Hoppe or anything like that. But, you know, I'm sure I took him over. I'm sure I took him over like Sal Perez probably in a couple spots, which is pretty nasty. I was kind of hoping that he would be the double digit steals catcher, which is kind of a cheat code if you hit it right.
The speed hasn't translated at all. Even last year, 5 steals, 230 plate appearance. I mean, you know, I'm not sure why, but he stole, what, 20 bags in 2022, 118.
I mean, I was just hoping for like 12 steals, you know.
12, yeah.
You get, even 15. You get 12 steals from your catcher, and then, I was thinking like 20 to 25 homers. It is what it is, but taking the L on that, even though I'm not dropping in. It's just,
that was my next question. You're going to hold. Now, I wonder in those leagues you have them, what catcher alternatives in the 12s at least are out there. It might be a tougher call. I don't know. Plus, if you need speed, then again, he's not providing that. So, I mean, in these 12s, you know, I always say too, I like, you know, you want to hold on to guys with good pedigree and you know, good prospects and whatnot. But if at a certain point, you can't just keep them in your lineup and just watch them tank, right? So I don't know.
So
catcher is a different animal though too, right? So
I looked it up. I've only got, for NFBC, I've only got Naylor on three teams. Two of those are draft and holds. One of them's my CLQ draft and hold. But the Fab League I have him in is a pretty good OC team that I am co-managing with Todd. The best catchers available there are, by ownership percentage, Ivan Herrera, Alejandro Kirk, Danny Jansen, Austin Wells.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, are you dropping Bo Naylor for any of those guys?
I don't think so. I mean, if you need power, maybe, you know, I'd look at Jansen. Herrera's getting a lot of playing time, though, even with Contreras playing. I mean, he's interesting.
I like Herrera. I'm surprised to see him available there, but I guess it is a 12.
That's a tough call there, I think, right now, because he's hitting and he's playing. So
he's cooled off a little. He was really crushing it about a week to 10 days ago. I do really like the player, though.
And Contreras has been banged up. He's been hurt a lot. You know, I know he's playing through it now, right? I think he played today, but I feel like he's banged up. Like every day I read something on Wilson Contreras, but he seems to be playing every day still. So, yeah.
And he's a good DH option. So I think they called up a third catcher not too long ago just so that they could get those both in the lineup a decent amount. So that'll be
interesting. I'd give Naylor another week. And if Herrera is still DHing or splitting time, getting four or five games, you know, four games in a lineup even, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I mean, Bo Naylor, if we're waiting a while now to see something, and he's not really shown anything.
Well, he showed – it was a good finish to the season for him last year.
It's been as a whole,
taking the L on Bo Naylor, but fortunately I've got like three times as many shares of his older brother than I do of him, so –
That's all right. You know what's funny? I'm looking at my Bo Naylor team on my OC, and Herrera is also there. So I'll have the same decision as you after this week.
Well, and I don't know if it's like, I don't think you can assume that you have the luxury of waiting a week to make the decision, right? Like someone could just pop Herrera this week and then.
Right. That's true.
Okay. So I was going to take the L on buying the over Piguero, but that one's so kind of, you know, he was free basically. But I did not see him not winning the second base job because of Jared Triolo coming. I'll take the L on that one. I've got three more here. Super easy L for me to take real quick. Matt Wallner. I thought that was going to be just a dirt cheap 30 homer flyer. He's got just one of the best arms, if not the best arm of any right fielder. And he's got strong OBP skills. So I thought strong side platoon, easy drop if it doesn't work out, but awesome flyer, loaded up a Matt Wallner, dropped him everywhere now. So took that L. Now these next couple ones for me are a bit more interesting. So I loaded up on Parker Meadows. So my logic with Parker Meadows was he's by far their best defensive center fielder. He didn't really show any splits in the minors. Lefty-righty splits in the minors. So he's going to play every day because of his defense in center field, and he'll lead off against righties. And that hasn't transpired per se, but I was looking it up, and Parker Meadows – so I think that my theory was not that bad just in terms of the defense and the playing time, because – Parker Meadows is hitting 086. He's got a 31 WRC plus. You can't be really any worse at the plate than Parker Meadows. He's been worth the exact amount of wins above replacement as Matt Vierling, who's the other guy who's getting starts in center field, because he's that much better of a defender than Matt Vierling. So, yep. like, I think that part of it was correct. And, you know, Parker Meadows has, like I said, you can't really be much worse than he's been, but he's still already got two homers and three steals. So, like, I don't think the power speed part was that off base either, but he's just been so much worse as a hitter than I could have ever imagined. Now he's got a BABIP of 100. So
that bad.
But he's also got a strikeout rate of 39%. I mean, I think he's an interesting, like, if someone dropped him, I wouldn't be opposed in like a main event to picking him up. But right. I think I have to take the L on the preseason call just because it's gone so poorly. And, you know, he was kind of one of my tentpole guys this year. Like he was going to be like my Ha-Seon Kim this year. Like the guy that just out of nowhere goes 15, 30 and just really, really helps you out in Roto. And even if he really turns it around from here, that's not happening. Like he can't make up for all the damage he's done to my batting average.
0.086. Yeah, that's hard. That's hard to do. I mean, we don't even know how much more time he'll have, right? I mean, I would assume they send him down if this continues, right?
They're playing him a bunch. I don't know, man. Like they would have to go to, they'd basically have to make Matt Vierling and like Wenciel Perez their center fielders. Like they don't have anyone else. Like that was part of my, that was like, he's going to have to play. They don't have anyone else and they don't have anyone else.
I don't own him and it wasn't by choice. I liked him a lot too in the preseason. It's just, I was taking pictures mostly where he was going, but yeah, I mean, I wasn't a guy I was against taking, but yeah, he's struggling is an understatement. 0.086. I mean, I assume he's on your bench right now, or are you just doubling down on him in your lineup also?
I'm going to have to look that up. I think I've got him benched pretty much everywhere. But I should check to see,
He did have a couple of games recently, I thought. I saw, right, where he showed something showed some life.
I've got him benched in 3 out of 5 leagues. The two spots where he's not benched, one of them's my worst fab team, and one of them's my most depleted DC roster, where it really wasn't that hard of a call to start him there, which is kind of sad. But benched. I've got him on the majority of my benches, but.
It was. I'm looking at his game log now. It was last week, back to back games, 3 for 6, had a steal, had a homer, RBI, obviously. And that's where you might have thought he turned a corner, but since then, he's like 1 for 20.
I try to look at the playing time. Like, I mean, he's been in the lineup every single day. Like that's,
yep, he is.
That's,
but you know, this is also one of those guys where if you drop him, someone picks him up for $6 and then he turns it on and you're watching Meadows go on a tear right after he destroyed your team for 5 weeks. So yeah,
it's a tough game, but I would take it because of the fact I've got him in more DCs than Fab League. So,
okay.
Like, that's one where I wouldn't, you know, it would suck just because of the stolen bases. Like, I still think he could steal 20 steals the rest of the way, but.
Yeah. And his brother, too. I mean, maybe the Meadows, there's something in there where they, you know, he was a huge prospect. He didn't live up to that. I know he had, what do you have, like, vertigo-ish? He had some concussion, vertigo.
Yeah, he had I think he had to see his sports psychologist and
I mean, he had a lot of, I mean, he was a big pedigree kid too, so it would be a shame if both the brothers freaking tanked. So
that would be a shame. My last guy, I wasn't like out there vocally saying like, don't draft this guy, but I also had him ranked pretty low on my prospect rankings relative to where some places had him ranked, and that's Michael Bush. I would have probably bet on him being a quad A guy coming into the year. Obviously knew he could hit the ball hard and put up big numbers at Triple A, but
what was your reasoning behind that? Right. He's got good power, right?
Just, 25-year-old repeating Triple A, not being able to offer any defensive value, really, like, just kind of checked some boxes for me. And then, I like the prospects the Dodgers got back in that deal. I don't know if the Dodgers would do that deal if they thought he was going to turn into this, but, is this a situation where do you have a lot of Bush?
Yeah, well, I didn't, and I picked him up in a bunch of spots before that homer streak occurred. So I think I have three shares, maybe. I just saw he was getting every day playing time. He showed a little pop, and right after I picked him up, he went like, how many games in a row did he hit a home run? Five or six games straight. He's looking good. Power. I like that lineup a lot too now. And with those injuries there, you saw Bellinger too. He's got a cracked rib now. I mean, this kid's going to be a mainstay in that lineup, all season. So I think, you're going to see 30 homers, right? I mean, that's within reach, I feel like. And it'll be a nice corner infielder, nice first baseman if you have a Casas or something right now. So, that's a guy that you should be pretty stoked to have on your roster.
Well, the listener, the proverbial listener, should be stoked to have him on the roster. I am not stoked to have him on my roster because I don't have him on any rosters. But I will take the L on Michael Bush. I took the L on Bush, Leover Piguero, Matt Wallner, Parker Meadows, Bo Naylor, Hunter Brown, Ellie De La Cruz. And then I am doubling down on Mike Trout's fragility and Wyatt Langford showing what he's got the rest of the way. Anyone that you want to kind of give a shout out to that you were to this point in the season very wrong about?
I'm not really wrong too much, James.
That's a tough
question. First off, on Wallner, I still think he's going to – I'm still holding him in one of my mains. I don't know. I don't know. I think he's a guy that could come up and just start mashing again. I don't get why he's not playing right now.
So you held him after he got sent down?
Yeah, I did. I mean, that team is depleted in power. So I'm just hoping, he gets called back up soon. I'm trying to think of,
I just didn't even consider holding him because I thought even if he got the call again, I assumed I would be the highest person on him in whatever league and it wouldn't be that expensive to add.
Oh, really? I mean, he was pretty highly owned prior, right? I mean, he was in the 80-90% of ownership. So, I mean, if he gets called up.
Can you look up what his ownership is right now? I don't have him in any fab teams.
Yeah, I'll tell you one sec. So he's owned in the main. Oh, okay. I might be one of the only two teams holding him right now. 5%. Okay. Again, that team is really struggling with the power, so I get it. And I just lost Bellinger too, and I see Zach Galoff is hurt. That's the first time I'm seeing that. You know what happened to him?
I don't know.
Late scratch Wednesday. All right, that's good to see. So yeah, he might be off my team on Sunday then. So let me see. Let me look at my player shares. Tyro Estrada. That's a guy I have a lot of. a lot of James, and he hasn't been good. He had that 2 or 3 game spurt. I think it was over maybe last weekend, I want to say, where he had a monster weekend. He's got no steals right now, which is hard to believe. Hit 230, 3 homers. I mean, has been terrible, terrible, but, you know, you're drafting that guy to, you know, for a good 20 steals, and he doesn't have any yet.
Yeah. I've got a couple of Cairo. Like, I like way back early in draft season, I liked Edmund a little bit more than Estrada, but then I kind of pivoted to Estrada in some spots after Edmund got hurt. But yeah, the whole point was the speed and the eligibility. Like, I don't care about the rest of the stuff with him.
Yeah. Another guy I have a lot of here, India, who's been terrible. He's got no homers. He does have 2 steals, hitting 174. I mean, blessed with playing time, and I was so happy because I had him in a ton of spots.
Yeah, you were right about the idea of him finding his way into the lineup.
That was about it. Yeah. So I don't know. I think I'm taking an L there. I don't know what your thoughts on him are. It's just
it's tough with a guy like that who was so cheap, especially since you actually ended up being right about him playing. It's not that sexy of an L, but it's probably just a boring L.
And leading off with that lineup playing every day, it's just so underwhelming. I don't know. And then if I had to pick another guy, it's probably Alejandro Kirk. Because he was the last guy in that catcher 2 range for me where I was like, I want to at least grab him. He's like my cutoff. So I have a lot of him, and he's just been brutal. And he's getting dropped in OCs left and right. I mean, I don't blame anybody. He's done nothing. And now you got Danny Jansen back. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm taking an L there, because I do think, I mean, the guy's a hitter. He's a good base hitter. So, I mean, he's hitting 172. You know, he's, you know, I don't know what his BABIP.
200.
What is it?
200.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to start hitting. You know, the power, though, is more concerning when he's got no homers. And I don't know if you saw the Guild's homer scrub derby by chance.
No. Sorry.
Oh, you haven't seen this? I took so there's like 20 guys on this list. It's on my Twitter, but, you know, it's 20 draft relevant guys who were drafted fairly high in all fantasy drafts that were homerless.
Oh.
Zero homers. Julio Rodriguez was on there prior. He hit one last night. But so out of those 20 guys, I ran a contest where basically you have to pick the last guy to hit a home run out of these 20 guys and the date he hits it. And the prize is a co-managed DC next year. So if whoever gets the closest to the player and the date wins DC next year. So I just threw it out there. I didn't know how many people would like it. All of a sudden Twitter just freaking blowing up, and I just see like 100 replies. You know, I had to cut it off for the first game yesterday, because if I left it open, you know, there'd be 10,000 replies on that thing. So anyway, Kirk was a very popular pick in that contest. Yeah, it will be interesting to see. Buxton was on there. He's off the list now. And I think there was one more. We lost 3 guys yesterday. But
well, anyway. two things about that. I mean, A, people just love free stuff. So I'm not surprised about that. And then B, the Twitter algorithm is just so messed up. Like, how do I not see that? I'm on there every day.
Yeah, it was like, blowing up. I'm surprised.
So I retweeted. I have no interest in, and I've seen them multiple times, and yet I don't see this.
I retweeted. I put like a little rule set together. It just all kind of came to me out of nowhere. I'm like, you know, this is kind of a cool idea. And then everyone I got like all these DMs from people being like, this is amazing. I love this contest. I'm like, this might be like an annual Guild's home run scrub derby, and people seem to like it. So we'll see how it goes.
A lot of work for you.
One of the rules was you had to reply. You had to make your entry on that Twitter post, because I wasn't searching for stuff here or there. So if you didn't reply, there's actually 2 of them. If you didn't reply to one or the other, it didn't count. And then the cutoff, anybody that entered their entry post game locks yesterday, or Monday rather, don't count either. So we're cut off.
Well,
who would you pick? Let me just pull that up real quick just to see what, get a James Anderson guess.
Oh, okay.
All right, hold on a sec.
I could probably track it.
I'll tell you who we lost. Geez, I've been tweeting a lot. Hold on, I'm gonna scroll down here. All right, here we go. All right. So okay. It was a zero home run club. There was 20 guys in it. We lost Julio yesterday. We lost Buxton and Neto homer today. So he's gone. So I'm going to just read off some names to you, James. Give me your pick.
I've got it up.
Oh, you got it up. Okay.
Okay. Well,
the rules out, you can't be sent down, right? So that deterred a lot of people from Colt Keith. That was one of the rules.
Okay, and Walker doesn't count anymore.
Yeah, he's out. Walker's out now. Yeah.
So I think, I think there's three very strong candidates here. I think
I have one. I'll play mine too. Go
ahead. I think Jonathan India and Alejandro Kirk are very strong candidates. And then I think Jose Abreu is a strong candidate because, like, you know, the, like, once you show a skill, you own it type of thing. Like, he showed us last year that he's capable of going an extremely long time without hitting a home run.
Yeah. but then he hit like 18, right?
Yeah. and then I ended up with him on a few teams because I was like, all right, he's back. Like, he's definitely going to just hit in the middle of that lineup. So whatever. All right. Well, I've taken up too much of your time. Andrew, thank you very much.
Oh, you didn't make a pick. Did you make a pick, James?
No, right. I'm going Jose Abreu.
Oh, you're going Jose Abreu. All right. I didn't think you actually made the selection. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a very popular pick in this thing.
But I didn't get it in time, so we won't be co-managing in DC.
My pick, not that it mattered, I think I tweeted, replied, it was Henry Davis, just because – I think he'll be – I don't think they're going to send him, which I could be wrong. But he just looks pretty bad. I don't know.
I think he'll hit a mistake out. He's too much of like a softball type of just grip it and rip it type of guy. I don't know. But not a bad pick. Anything you want to mention to the listeners before we wrap this up?
Yeah. Thanks again, James, for having me on. You know, I'm always happy to jump on with you and talk fantasy. So, and I appreciate all that you do at RotoWire, and you know, I listen to all your pods too. So, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining me. This was great, and thanks to everyone listening. Remember to subscribe if you're listening or if you're watching on YouTube. And this podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use the promo code ROTOPOD for a 100% deposit match.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.